Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fun with Flame. I'm your host, Daniel the Flame. And I just finished watching Rurouni Kenshin, The Beginning. Finally completing the last movie in the five movie series that was the Rurouni Kenshin live action adaptation movies. And I gotta say, it was good. It was good. Now, about the negative stuff. I know I get down. Oh, man. So, if you want to know, or if you want like a quick little, because it generally follows the exact same storyline. There's, okay. Now, I happen to own the animated movie that this movie essentially is based off of, or the manga. Essentially it's like what, like the 24th, 25th book within Rurouni Kenshin that this story is based off of, which is just about how he got the cross-shaped scar. And then they turned that actual story into a whole movie because it's actually incredibly deep and really, really, really fucking good a long time ago. And it's like one of the, it's one of the movies that mistakenly got people confused about the entire concept of Rurouni Kenshin because it's called Samurai X. And there are three movies that are in the Samurai X animated movie showcase. And a lot of people would get confused because they would refer to Rurouni Kenshin as Samurai X, when in actuality, Rurouni Kenshin is the name of the show. Samurai X was the names of the movies. Now, I have Trust and Betrayal, the movie that is about the whole Tomoe storyline that happens with Kenshin and how he got his scar. And I've seen it a lot of times because I fucking adore it. And so seeing this movie was pleasantly surprised that it did good. Like I said, this movie follows the storyline and it goes through the motions of everything that happens within that storyline very well, mind you. I would have loved that they had more political jargon in it than that is included within the original. Because essentially his reason for being and the cause that he's fighting for is a huge plot point behind everything that he does and a lot of decisions that he makes and things like that. But the movie itself tended to take liberties with that by essentially kind of watering down his reasoning behind why he was working for the for the Meiji Revolution and everything. And I did not appreciate that. I didn't like that. In fact, if that was like the main sore spot to me for the entire movie, is that it took liberties with that concept. It really just, like I said, it watered down. It shattered his whole concept. In the original movie, it opens up with him and how he met his master. I was disappointed that this movie does not do the same, but that was okay. But this also leads to the takeaway that it was from the symbolism of him leaving, having Tomoe's grave be where the three women who protected him back when he was Shinta, where their graves lay. And the symbolism of like how much she meant to him and then like the importance that she has over his to him in his life. Yeah, I like Rurouni Kenshin. Well, I like some parts of Rurouni Kenshin. Karu is one of the worst female characters that has ever been created, but I digress. I did not like that they took that away because it was weird that his wife's body was just perfectly fine when he decided to set the little hut on fire at the end of the movie, but yeah. You know, it was like, yeah, I get it, trying to be soft. And that was one of those other movie making elements that's like really bad when it comes to Japanese movies, where they just can't help themselves in doing flashbacks. And this isn't the first time this happened. They did the same thing, and I believe like I want to say the first Rurouni Kenshin movie, they had the same problem where you got flashbacks of the movie that you're currently watching, which is really fucking stupid because I just saw that stuff. I don't need a flashback to remind me that this was important. You want to make something special when you're doing a flashback? Show different shit in contrast to what the flashbacks are showing. A movie that did this well was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, where when Peter was trying to think about things that made him happy or what he considered a family, he thought back to just different moments with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they were all like different things. It wasn't just the same shit. It was different stuff. So it wasn't everything that we've already seen in the movie. It was just different things, like him and Rocket flying with jetpacks and like having fun, and him like playing with Drax and stuff like that. Like, just when you do shit like that, then it to me, it gives a far more meaningful concept, as well as open up a hell of a lot more for emotions to flood in. Because if all you gave us was the glimpses that we've seen within the movie so far, it just seems really hackney, as well as like really bland, almost like you're not trying. And it's like, yeah, I wanted to show that they really care about each other. Okay, show other scenes that we didn't get to see in the movie that show that they care about each other, to let us know that when all this time passed by, they actually did more than what we were privy to. It would make fucking sense. It would be okay. It wouldn't take away from the movie. If anything, it would just heighten the experience of what they had going on. But you literally had a montage of the shit that we just got through looking at, leading up to Tomoe and Kenshin living in the hut and everything like that. And that was just incredibly stupid. And I was like, this is the movie. You're recapping the movie for what? And then like they did the same thing within the finale movie, but that was like kind of a glimpse at to what the beginning was, which was a nice little trick leading up to that movie. It was a nice little thing leading up to that movie to kind of get you hyped for that. But I thought that was incredibly lazy, that this one had a fucking montage that was just shit I've already seen. I was like, well, you couldn't show both of them working in the fields, or both of them walking into town and people like nodding at them, and they nod back, and like people waving at them and them kind of waving back or whatever, them sharing a giggle or eating together and wearing different kimonos and something like that. Anything to show you that they've just done other shit, that like time has passed, they've grown accustomed to each other's faces. Something would have gave it far more, just gave it some merit on its own. But yeah. Far be it for me to tell you guys how to do, like, not do lazy shit. So, first things first, the action in this movie is 10 out of 10. Always amazing action. Problem is that I really wish they would have went in more with the final fights, considering the fact that, true, just like in the original concept, it's not about, like, that fight isn't meant to be this flashy, epic showdown. There's a reason why Kenshin just acts bitch made and then he just stumbles around and almost dies. Like, that's kind of the whole fucking point. But afterwards, there should have been an elongated scene of an action sequence rather than the short end of the revolutionary fight that we got. I would have loved if they shown Kenshin in different battlefields during different moments throughout that revolution, to show how he built up the name and everything like that, then ending it off with his confrontation with Saito and then him dropping the sword down. That would have been fine. Hell, show him fight Saito for a little bit. I was disappointed that the movie didn't have that at all. And I was like, the one chance you have to do something that the anime failed to, which is show a clash between him and Saito, or a really good fight between him and Saito back during the actual revolution. Fuck. I was like, seriously? Like, you missed out on the opportunity? And it was like, cool that you had him fight one of the members of the Shinsengumi, but it just would have been a hell of a lot better if you shown when he fights Saito, considering that they're supposed to have clashed multiple times in throughout their history. So, fuck. If that's not annoying that you guys didn't just do that. And it's like, why would you not do that? They just had so much of like unnecessary scenes that just was like weird talking. Hell, him walking with Tomoe and then her going into a spiel about, you know, taking away happiness or loved ones with other people, just seemed like such a nonsense of a scene. And I was like, well, that's really dumb. And then every time Tomoe opened her mouth, I was like, it's like she's speaking some fucking prophetic notion of Confucius-esque content that needs to be listened to. And I was like, I would have loved if Kenshin Turner was like, hey, you ever just shut up and just enjoy life? Like, just shut the fuck up and just have fun right now. And it's like, why the hell did you immediately start just berating me over, you know, are these people happy? What is happiness? You go around killing. Is it for hat? And it's like, oh my God, what? And I was like, what is this conversation? How is this showing me that they're getting closer together? Because it's not. It's just weird conversations. And it was like, so I thought that was odd. I thought that was very odd. And then when you have the animated movie essentially have them, where you have like her getting close to Kenshin, despite everything that's going on, him trying to get her to leave, and then her saying that she really has nowhere else to go, and him being like, well, if that's your case, then you can stay at whatever, I don't really care. Then you seeing the constant bleeding of his scar, and then him still thinking about the guy and things like that. It just, the animated movie did a hell of a lot more, even with less time, and I'm confused that this live action movie didn't do more. You know, it was like they didn't do more, considering that they had the opportunity to. But adaptations, am I right? So, like I said, the action was really good, but there was just so many elements within this movie that I was just missing out on, it because it was like, you're focusing on the wrong fucking thing. Tomoe talking weird is not something that should be really highlighted right now. I was like, what you should possibly highlight would be the huge struggle and the political tension within the towns and the cities, and like have it to where Tomoe and Kenshin are walking around, but then you see people essentially getting berated or abused or beaten by the shogunate people, and then people within the revolution are or the people that's from the emperor side essentially trying to stick up, and then they also get beaten down or something like that, and then you can just see the actual divide that they have within their country, or more so the actual suppression that they get from the shogunate, which is one of the things that caused to reason why they're having these battles in the first fucking place. The animated movie had opened up with that while showing Kenshin being trained with his master, and then essentially him having such strong feelings for actually doing something with their sword skills to fight for a cause and for a revolution or whatnot, rather than just training to be training, but then not using it for anything. And then his master just being like, you know, you just fucking leave if you want to. I'm not holding you back, but it's like, I'm not involving myself in what they got going on. I don't care. You know, and it's like, and that being one of those things that led up to him doing what he does. Now, this kind of gets to the meat and potatoes of a big old problem that comes with everything. Again, Rurouni Kenshin, you see, he's supposed to be 14. He was young as shit when everything took place. Even him being with Tomoe and Everlet, all that, he was young. He was very young. And yes, it is still the whole 10 years thing until he shows up again, because I believe when he meets Kaoru and them, he's like 24. So yes, he is supposed to be young. He is very young, but showing this actor do the stuff that he does, and I was like, it kind of takes away from the naivete that Kenshin is supposed to have, which leads him into a bunch of situations that happen at the end, which is why like they get the one up on him, and he's never really been happy or anything like that. Like, his whole life has just been training, and then he started fighting in the revolution, and he's just been killing people. And the animated movie was able to condense this and put it in an actual understandable manner. While this movie seemed to harp on a wrong element of his character, which didn't make any sense. You see, in the animated movie, they kind of knew that having him kill a bunch of people, but not caring about the fact that he's killing a bunch of people, would eventually mess with him, if I'm to remember this correctly. But it was more so like, you know, seeing him wane in and like how he felt about what he was doing and everything like that was starting to show. But it was like at some point it was going to start showing, or like it was going to happen. But for the most part, everyone knew this is a kid who's pretending to be an adult right now because the situation demands it. But realistically, he's still a fucking kid, but he's like the best swordsman that we got. So we're using him to assassinate people. Cool. The live action movie decided to go a different route, in which case it was like the leader of the little revolution thing that Kenshin was working for just kind of understood, or he knew that Kenshin didn't like killing. And that it was just, I was like, that couldn't be further from the truth. It was really the one of the bigger faux pas within this movie. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? That's never been a thing for him, because killing is just a regular occurrence within this world and like what he's associated with. That's not that big of a deal. You're trying to put the whole humanitarianism aspect of his character on a pedestal, as that's something that's been put in high regard since the beginning. And it's like, no, he didn't make that promise about not killing until when it came to Tomoe. And it was like, because she opened his eyes up to what you can want from the world. And then he saw exactly how negative his aspects of just killing led to. And it was like, yo, like him just killing people literally was a domino effect that led to him murdering the woman that he fell in love with. So yeah. And it was like, he didn't want to make it to where all those deaths that he has committed up until this point would be for nothing. So he wanted it to be that by the end of the revolution, he fights for the cause that he actually does believe in, because he does fucking believe in that cause, which again, I would have loved that this movie harped in a little bit more, but he fought for this cause that he does believe in. And then when they finally won, then yeah, and it was like, then you had what he did with Saito and him walk away, because it's like, yeah, this is over with. This is all, I was only fighting and killing up until this point. After that, I'm done. And it's like, that's who he is and that's what he's supposed to do. So the movie could have handled that a hell of a lot better, and that would have been much appreciated. But it kind of went in a weird direction. It kept making him kill people, and then he would get the shakes and shivers, and then he would act like he doesn't care, and then you got his leader dude going like, you know, this guy, and it was like, he keeps killing people, but I know he doesn't like it, but I need him to keep killing these people. And I was like, this is fucking weird. And I was like, that's just weird. That's just so weird. But again, it was like they was immediately putting him in that realm where he's Kenshin, the I don't kill people, I only fight to protect people, way before that's even a concept that pops into his head. So that was odd. And then you just have the small little excerpts between him and Tomoe that actually brought about more for their character. Like when he notices that she no longer carries her little hidden dagger with her. When she opens up to him a lot more about like her feelings and emotions and things like that while they're staying together. Also the fact that she was given the task, and this one that I really hated, because it adds more as to why she cares so, or as to why she tries to care, or when she begins to start caring for him and everything, is when she's given the task to become his sheath, because he is just a weapon. And I was like, he is a weapon. We don't want him to lose his edge and everything like that. So become his sheath. And there's like a part where they're running away to escape. And then when they have to lie low, you know, he was basically ready to go and attack some people. And she was like, she held him back. She was like, no, I'm your sheath. So as long as you have me around, you don't need to get unsheathed. We just need to stay hidden. It's like, that's our purpose. That's what we're supposed to do. It does a lot, because it gives him an anchor of support, and then it gives her more of a reason of being before the reveal of everything that was going on within the story. And that is also something that was taken out. So it kind of just devolved from, you know, and it's like, yo, why is this bitch putting up with this? And it's like, not given a reason until you get the twist at the end. But until you get the twist. And then it's like, it doesn't really hit the same, because it was like, there was no reason for this prior. And it was like, if you kind of gave a reason for her to be like, you know, and it was like, no, we think, yeah, what you're doing is good for the guy. Like, he needs this. He needs someone that he depends on and whatever, whatnot. But nah, they took that out. It was like, oh, that's bad. That's kind of sad for her character. So that was underappreciated. Now, I said the action was really good, and the movie itself has like really dope and bomb ass fight scenes. Like, I wish that the director would do, you know, like someone was like, let's do like a badass samurai movie. And it's like, yes, get him involved. The man knows his shit. And like his, because his works are fantastic when it comes to swordsmanship. And it's like, man, you be doing some cool shit. But just watching it, and I was like, alone, the fight scenes alone was enough to carry the whole movie for me. And I was like, that was great. And I just wish that the last fight scene just had a lot more to it. So that way, you know, it end on a high note with the movie itself being a more fast action paced concept and whatnot. Hell, it could have been him and Saito fighting, and then they got announced, or it was called that the Emperor won, like the revolution was over with and everything like that. And then just having Kenshin stop mid fight and going like, "Yeah, I'm done." It was like once we won, so it's over with. You know, it was like that would have been fine. That just something to add more to the goddamn action, but it's like just haphazardly stopping the way that they did at the very end was really like, oh, that's kind of a letdown. It's like we've been building up action all this time, and all we got was like this little subpar ass kicking of Kenshin's during a final battle. And it's like symbolism wise and how the story progresses, I understand why they do what they did, but it was like, yo, when you now that you got this movie, you know, that doesn't need to adhere to where the manga essentially was just doing a flashback, and then where the animated movie was just trying to adapt the flashback. And it was like, well, you with your live action movie and this being the final Rurouni Kenshin movie, go out with a fucking bang. Have the final fight be amazing. Not when, you know, up until the point where he killed Tomoe, but the final fight that during the end of the revolution, like, you know, that could have been a bigger and grander spectacle. That would have been cool. Much like when it shows him in like his little past self in like the early episodes of the manga, when his hair's done up, like his ponytail is up instead of down in the back, and where you see this guy, but you see him like surrounded by soldiers and just mowing them down and whatnot, them talking about the legend of Himura the Batosai, you know. Show that. I was like, add to that. Like, there should have been more of that. Man, to me, that would have been like gold standard. That would have been an amazing end to that movie. But other than that, it was fine. It was very, very good. It was amazing. The movie is definitely worth the watch. Much better than the fucking the finale, as far as I'm concerned. And then the story has always been a really good story to me. Kenshin's initial interactions with Tomoe, and then him, and then like their whole back and forth, the origin of his cross-shaped scar and all of that. That's a bomb ass fucking story. And it is really good. And this was a very good adaptation. And it's like, I would implore you to watch this as well as the animated the anime movie as well. But it's just a really good fucking story. So it made for a really good fucking movie. So kudos to them on everything they did. The act, like, I can't keep like, you know, just get ooh the action, but like this shit was good. It was really, really fucking good. But yeah, that's really all I can say. It's a bomb movie. It's really cool. Just go see it. It has its faults. Yes, it has its faults, but still a good fucking movie. All right, now I'm out of pop. I need to go get some more. So with that, I'm going to end it here. This has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Daniel the Flame, and as always, good people. Hope you had fun. Oh yeah, before I go, happy birthday to me. Actually, making this super late, but like, yeah, I had fun.